Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church in Denver, Colorado. Today, December 3rd, it's Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014, there was a terrible apparent crime, possibly racially motivated, near East High School, where a number of us this past year have gone repeatedly to share the gospel with the students there at East High School. And the staff at the school, they will do what they can to minimize the students' ability to hear our message. But this, a great tragedy. Hundreds of students walked out of school in a protest, apparently over the shooting of Michael Brown, in solidarity with the Ferguson protest. Well, there were Denver police officers on the scene. The students walked along Colfax toward the state capitol. And a car, one witness said that a car appeared to target officers who were on bicycles and injured those officers. One is in critical condition and was taken into surgery and was expected to be in surgery for some hours. The three other officers were injured but had lesser injuries. So this is, of course, part of the fallout of the President of the United States, Barack Obama, flaming this incendiary rhetoric that somehow the police are to blame, racism is to be blamed, black rage is to be understood. When you have young black men killing one another in epidemic numbers, young black men becoming thugs, attacking police officers, and then that being used as somehow the moral high ground to argue about their grievances. How absurd. How absolutely absurd. And, of course, we have pointed out that Michael Brown's death was not fully reported, not accurately reported by the media. It wasn't just a death from gunshots. It was suicide by cop. Michael Brown, with rage and utter recklessness, attacking an armed police officer in his car and then being shot in the hand and then leaving, but then turning back at the police officer and charging the police officer and being killed as the police officer, Darren Wilson, is defending himself and fears for his life, understandably. This after Michael Brown committed a strong-arm robbery, like a thug would do, for a handful of cigars. So, and with video cameras being ubiquitous today, certainly there should be a realization that his crime was going to be videotaped, so that he was acting with utter recklessness for his freedom, his liberty, and then attacking a police officer, an innocent police officer who was just going about his job, had been on a call to help a 2-month-old black baby who was not breathing and was got on the scene before the paramedics, and then, if I recall correctly, was escorting the paramedics to the hospital, and then came across Michael Brown, who fit the description of a burglar. And Michael Brown then, in rage and with complete recklessness, committed a crime against the police officer and then put the police officer in this horrific situation where he's got to shoot this guy who is attacking him in rage. And so what does all this, so all this turns out to be fanned, the rage in the black community is then fanned by the U.S. Attorney General. It's fanned by the President of the United States. It's fanned by the media, by CNN, by the media in general, by black players on the St. Louis Rams, and by high school students in a Denver inner city, East High. And the rage in the black community, it is so important for people to acknowledge that the rage, the root cause of the rage is not police officers who mistreat young black men. That's not it. The root cause of the rage is the failure in the black community, the failure of the black family, the failure of the black marriage, the couple, the husband and wife, to stay together and to raise their children. The failure of the black community to raise children to be respectful young men and women who respect themselves, respect one another, respect the law to the extent that we're able to, respect God. An utter failure by the black community, and it is so much easier to blame others than to take responsibility for yourself. And so that's where we're at. And so we have this week Louis Farrakhan, the leader of something called the Nation of Islam, who is a racist, of course. And he's speaking at a black college in Maryland, Morgan State University. And he's saying, we're going to tear this blankety-blank country apart. We're going to die anyway. Let's die for something. And then in his speech, he is arguing that violent protest is justifiable in response to the decision in Ferguson not to indict Officer Darren Wilson, and that a peaceful protest is only in the interest of white folks. So Louis Farrakhan he's a racist. He hates Jews, for example. I don't think whites are particularly favored in his worldview. And then he is telling parents that they should teach their kids how to throw Molotov cocktails. And he says, teach your baby how to throw the bottle if they can fight. And he imitates throwing an explosive device. And this is at a black college, which is exactly what young black men and women at a black college need to be inspired, right? To be successful and to be a positive influence on their culture, on their government. And so the argument that this is because blacks are mistreated by the police, let's think about that for a moment. I said a week ago that I had, you know, after having lived with blacks for about 6 months, 24/7, I had some insight into blacks more than maybe other whites who had not lived with blacks. And of course, millions of us have lived together, of course, especially in the military and especially in prison. So some insight. And what I could see is that the black rage is not because white police officers are against them, because in many of the cities where the black community is the angriest are cities run by blacks, black mayors, city councils, black board of education, black police chiefs, commissioners, black police officers, judges. Oh, yeah. And female headed households by the tens or hundreds of thousands without dad at home raising the the kids. But in my life and in the life of many pro-lifers that I know of, I've been arrested by police officers. Boy, I lost track how many times. In peaceful, nonviolent, pro-life protest. What, dozens of times? Many trials, jury trials, trials to the court, to the judge. And police officers will call me up and say, Bob, we want you to come down to the police station and turn yourself in. And I say, officer, I want to be respectful. I am respectful, but I don't want to be an accomplice to my own harassment, to harassing myself. If you want to arrest me, please come to the studio and arrest me. At least do me the courtesy of arresting me. You make me turn myself in. And so after some decades of this, what is my attitude toward the police? Oh, and we've really been hurt, too. I mean, spending months in jail is a difficulty on your family. I mean, on the person in jail, it's like going on a retreat. It's like going on vacation. You know, you play sports and watch movies. In Denver, you watch two movies Friday night, three movies Saturday night, two movies Sunday night. The inmates pick the movies. The movies are basically pornography. You'd call them soft porn, but they're basically porn. And basketball and foosball and volleyball. And it's a joke. We had Bible studies, of course, day and night. Shared the gospel with many inmates. Had the opportunity with Ken Scott, and I had the opportunity. Well, Ken mostly, his pod was next to my pod in Colorado Springs. This is just a couple of years ago, and a few years ago now. And Ken got the chance to pray often with a young guy who's given his life to the Lord and has now created YouTube videos, including for Real Science Radio, that have millions of views pointing people to Jesus Christ. So we've had plenty of opportunity to be harassed by the police, be thrown in jail. Because of my being thrown in jail, the difficulty on our family, my wife and I, was intense almost beyond measure. I've shared the details in the past. I'll skip them now. But the point is this, after all that and decades of that, what is our rage toward the police? The pro-life community in general, where there have been tens of thousands of arrests of peaceful pro-lifers, where is our rage against the police? It's not there. So in the black community, the rage is not because they're mistreated by the police. My wife, Cheryl, and I, we teach our kids to, as much as it is possible, like the Bible says, obey the police, be respectful. I mean, if you are ordered to do something wrong, something sinful, then you don't obey, of course. That almost goes without saying, except that there are knuckleheads in the world, so you do have to say it now and then. But you obey the police, you respect the police. If you're in trouble, you look to the police. You call the police. And you know what? If you're a pro-lifer, they might show up to help you and arrest you and say, we got a warrant for your arrest. It's been sitting here for months. You say, well, officer, it happened to Doug McBurney and I. We were arrested during a protest on the steps of the Capitol at downtown Denver. And we were thankful we were arrested because we thought we might be beat by the counter protesters. And this happened many times to pro-lifers. The peaceful people, the beautiful people, you know, the child killers and homosexuals, sodomites, atheists, the beautiful people who believe in tolerance, free speech, respect for all, diversity. They'll just interact a few times on college campuses and all, and you'll feel like maybe you're going to be killed. And so the police, I mean, that the last time that happened in Denver was yesterday, when Leslie Hanks told me that three or four guys got out of their cars at the Planned Parenthood abortion mill, and she thought they were maybe going to attack her. And so that's not surprising. That's very different from getting out of the car and saying, hey, can we talk? Let's talk about this. I mean, that'd be great. Pro-life heroes like Joe Scott and Leslie Hanks and, you know, just so many others, too many to mention them all. Heroes. They're thrilled when somebody wants to talk. But this this hatred and harassment of the beautiful people against the Christians, it's pretty much ubiquitous. And so Doug McBurney and I, totally peaceful, totally. When the judge heard what we were doing at our protest, the judge was angry that that's all we were doing and let us go. After halfway through the trial, the Denver prosecutor rested his case and the judge was outraged that all that time was wasted in selecting a jury and the months leading up to the trial and all the pretrial, and it all was wasted because she said there's not even a conceivable crime that these two have committed that you have presented to this court. How am I supposed to give this to a jury when there's not a crime? So Doug and I were holding pictures of aborted children, and we were saying, not even yelling, saying, know your pro-choice rights. Know your pro-choice rights. And we were saying, trying to get the message across to the group that this is what pro-choice means, killing these babies. So know your pro-choice rights. This is what it is, killing these kids. And so you could be a pro-lifer going to the police for help, and you're the one who gets arrested. I mean, it's happened. Happened to Doug McBurney and I. I'm sure it's happened to hundreds of pro-lifers. And so does any of that justify a general attitude of rage toward the police? Well, it hasn't generated an attitude of rage toward the police in me, in my life, nor in all the pro-lifers that I know of. And in our case, I mean, the severity of the suffering that my wife and I have gone through as a result of that kind of treatment by the police and the courts, severe. Some of the most horrific suffering that a human being could go through, we experienced. It might sound like I'm exaggerating unless you know our story. So I think I'm able to assess, is all that rage the result of being pulled over by the police when you're not doing anything wrong? Michael Brown's stepfather screaming repeatedly, burn the blank down, burn the blank down. You know the terms of endearment for black women among black men? If you don't have to listen to rap, you just have to hang out with black men. And they're cuss words. They're vulgar. It's despicable. And that's their, when they're together, that's their terms of endearment toward their wives and girlfriends. I don't know. So when he was saying, burn the blank down, at first I wasn't, well, what is he, he's referring to Ferguson. Burn the blank down. And that rage, there is a source for that rage. And that rage is his failure to be a positive influence on his stepson, Michael Brown. His mother's rage is a result of her failure to raise a respectful young man. Her failure. And as long as Barack Obama and the vast majority of the black leadership, the black congressional caucus, CNN, the media, the left-wing media, and by the way, left-wing means anti-Christian. The anti-Christian media in this country, they're stoking the flames of hatred and racism. And they're race baiting. Even the whites on CNN and MSNBC. Because there's such a thing as self-hating and self-loathing, right? So Louis Farrakhan saying, so if a student at Morgan State University, this black college, takes a Molotov cocktail and burns down an apartment complex, maybe kills somebody, maybe some black kids, if that were to happen, Louis Farrakhan should be arrested for conspiracy and for incitement. I mean, I was arrested in Denver for conspiracy. I was charged with conspiracy. In fact, I was convicted in Denver, in a Denver city and county courtroom. I was convicted for conspiracy too, and then you have to fill in the blank, right? Because conspiracy is the kind of charge they could add to almost anything. In my case, and I still maintain, in the history of American jurisprudence, I was the only person in the history of the nation to be charged with this particular crime. It was conspiracy to loiter. How's that one? How's that one? Conspiracy to loiter. In fact, it's hard to remember which conviction you did, how much time for which, you know, your sentencing. But if I recall, I think that was when I got a two-month jail sentence. I think it was 4 months in Denver County Jail, released after 2 months for, you know, good time, early release. And 2 months in jail for conspiracy to loiter. Is that too much or what? And that's because I was a pro-lifer trying to save children, especially black children, being in Denver at Planned Parenthood, where they kill mostly black children. I mean, by far beyond their proportion of the general population. And so they hit a pro-lifer with conspiracy to loiter. The media has incessantly claimed that Operation Rescue was violent. I was the director of Operation Rescue Colorado for some time. And they would report Operation Rescue became violent today when there was no violence at all. And on CNN, they insist, even the night the indictment, the decision was made not to indict, they insist that the protest in Ferguson was mostly peaceful. It's like, mostly peaceful. Where? Where was it mostly peaceful? In front of the police station where Michael Brown's stepfather was screaming like a lunatic to burn the blank down. And then the people listening to him, they did burn it down. What 20 buildings, businesses were burned down? And so conspiracy, of course there should be conspiracy charges brought. And if, you know, God forbid that a student from Morgan State University would destroy his life to follow the advice of this racist invited to speak at a black college. Is it ironic that a black college would honor a racist to speak and pay him too? How does that work? How does that work? And so the importance today on his talk radio show in Denver, Mike Rosen over on KOA, they were talking about, you know, the black anger and the black rage. And I listened to a good chunk of that and not to all of it. So perhaps it was said, but I was trying to hear from Mike or his guest. He had a great guest, trying to hear one of them explaining where the rage comes from. And I didn't hear it. But it comes from the failure of the black community, the black community is destroying itself. I mean, literally, blacks are murdering one another at epidemic numbers. Epidemic. And that's when you don't count ripping black babies' arms and legs off by Planned Parenthood abortionists. I mean, when you count that, the reason that Hispanics so vastly outnumber blacks is because blacks have been slaughtering themselves. They've been committing a genocide with the eager help of the Democratic Party and the Republicans like George W. Bush, giving hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, which will kill any baby, but seems to have a special skill at attracting black, pregnant black women to kill their babies in epidemic numbers. By the millions, they've killed them. And so blacks would be the number one minority in America, except that, what is it? One out of four blacks have been killed by Planned Parenthood, abortionist. And when you're killed by Planned Parenthood, that means they take a suction tube and they go in and the suction tube grabs onto the baby's, one of his legs, and rips his leg off as the baby is desperately trying to get away. That's what that means, to be killed at Planned Parenthood. And that's happened to far more black babies, proportion-wise to the population, than any other. With a smiling support of Barack Obama. So self-hatred and loathing, it goes both ways. No, it goes both ways. So here in Denver, we have four mangled bicycles on the north side of Colfax Avenue between High Street and William Street. And a nurse on the scene was covered in blood. The whole area cordoned off by the Denver police. And according to one witness who was quoted by the Denver Post, the car appeared to target the officers. The car appeared to target the officers. That guilt goes right up to the White House and to everyone who has lost sight of God and the God of justice. Hey, God bless you guys.